The Bible reading for the sermon is the text which was just read. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, we thank you for the value of life which you have given us in Jesus. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit will help us to understand the meaning of your will and your word for our lives, and give us direction and courage to follow your will. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Driving back from the Illinois border on Sunday, I came behind on Route 25 on this side of Delphi, a long freight train. And in front of that, another long freight train going along the side of Route 25 in the same direction. And then at the front of the front freight train are all of the lights of police cars. And I say, oh no. And then about 12 feet from the crossing, which would cross the railroad track and Route 25, is a new blue car pulled up across the railroad track, front wheels across the first high tracks, and the car hung up on the railroad track. And as in times in the past, I asked myself at that point, so, if there is somebody or was somebody in that car that would ask the question, is it all worth it? And I have heard that question. And I have answered that question. And it's in this text. Yes, it's worth it. And live lives worthy of the gospel of Christ. It's worth it because of the precious life we have, enriched by the gospel of Christ. I can say to the person, Christ died for you. He paid the price. And as Paul says to the Philippians, the most important thing, the most valuable thing on this earth is our relationship to Christ. And that relationship has helped people all through 2,000 years. It's been field tested against the worst challenges and obstacles. Yes, it's worth it. Live lives worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's what Paul witnessed of to the jailer when the earthquake and the powers wrecked the jail. And he was afraid that the jailers or the prisoners had escaped. And under the Roman ethic, that would mean his death. And Paul comforts him. And his whole household and the jailer are baptized and brought to faith to be united with that new mission church in Philippi. Yes, it's worth it. And that relationship to Christ is continually strengthened. I just had adult baptism, children's baptisms, and communion service, and the Word of God, and the study of the Bible at that mission church, and could say to them, that what we are doing is the most important thing on this earth. Axios is used here, worthy, valuable, worthy, the most important thing. That we can have constructive, positive, creative lives using the five, the two, the one talent, the gifts, whatever we have, individually or in a cluster, to try to help the needs of other people. And that is the second point. Once we are in that relationship to Christ and have that positive drive of the use of our energies in our lives, then we can go in the horizontal relationship. Loving God, now love your neighbor. In whatever way I can. What are the needs? And so I'm shooting a movie of a professor of engineering down here at the downtown Hill, a meeting of Christian professors and university leaders from around the country. And he tells in his lecture, he's professor of engineering at Texas A&M, he said, I had a student that was missing class. So, soon it would be time for examinations, and I contacted that student. And he started coming to class again, took his exam, passed the course, came into my office and said, you not only saved my education, you saved my life. Because when you showed concern for me, I was contemplating taking my own life. That Christian professor was attempting to live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ. So he announced that he was going to have a Bible study in his home. And so many professors and students came that there wasn't a place to sit. He got a note from the dean who said, we're sure glad to have people like you witnessing of a positive philosophy here at this school. And I'm glad that my daughter can take your course. Live lives worthy of the gospel of Christ. And then Paul says, and be united. You know, he's always trying to tell them to be united. He perhaps here had in his image that of the shields of the Romans in the attack or the defense, lined up, unified, and no sword or spear could attack them or destroy them. And so the team in the Olympics, that term for a dynamic unity, be one in faith and in your works, and don't be afraid. He says, don't be terrorized. The words are very important in this text. First of all, axios, worthy, value. That was a word which from the root meant to lift up or to show. Value was in the scale. The value would be when you'd put something in one side, it would go down, and now the other side has to be balanced. And so, what Christ has done for us is so precious and makes life so abundant and enriched that we are motivated out of gratitude to live lives worthy of the gospel of Christ. It's gospel motivation. And so, we can't do it alone. We need the whole church. So be one. Yodia, Cindy Kay, the two women who were arguing that he mentions in the last chapter. They were fellow workers in this mission. And now, all of us should be one mind, striving together for the gospel. And he said, it shouldn't be necessary that I be present or absent. That doesn't matter. You have a relationship to God. And the will of God is in the mind of Christ. Have this mind among you, which was in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself, that there isn't any arrogance to assert itself for strife, deception, and destruction. Don't be afraid. Don't be terrorized, he says. He's using a word from horses which rear up and bolt and run away and destroy. That was a common term in Greek philosophy and ethics. In Plato's dialogues, he talks about the passions and the vitalities of life like wild steeds, and they have to be reined in and their energies and vitalities ordered. In Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics, you have all men seek for happiness. And you can use your freedom in one way that your habits become vices, or in another way and they become virtues. And so you are to use your intellectual and natural abilities to order your life. In that context, Paul says, do not be afraid. Don't be terrified. Order those vitalities of your life by the gospel of Christ. And he says, those who are your adversaries will, as he said in another sentence, in the same book of Philippi, to the Philippians, he says, their God is their belly, their end is destruction, and they glory in their shame. And in this verse now, he says, and God will do it. He will determine that way of life, which is destruction and deception, to that end of destruction. God will do it. And for you, your destinies will be determined by God to be that of salvation. Conduct yourselves, palitoistha, in relationship to other people, helpful to other people. You as a group of people, you as an individual, as a group of people in your church at Philippi, use this life worthy of the gospel of Christ and the philosophy that's behind it to be a leaven in the greater polis, the greater community of Philippi, the Roman Empire, or wherever. And don't be afraid. And finally, he comes back to faith and suffering at the end. He ends the verse before with salvation, and now he goes on to faith and suffering. Trust in that promise of God that will determine the outcome of historical events according to the will of God and the mind of Christ. Believe it, trust it. That's a subjective faith. But also witness of that faith to others. Whether in Western Indiana along Route 25 and the railroad track, or up and down 69 where a young man threw himself in front of the car down here and took his life, or down right straight down Clinton in the city here, where the young woman who was jilted went out and got drunk and threw herself in front of the car, or out on Route 30 where I came upon the body of a young hiker who put himself along Route 30 and took his own life. Is it worth it, they're asking? Yes, it's worth it. Trust in it, believe it. And then comes suffering, the inevitable part of human existence, evil, suffering, death. And he says, I want to be one with Christ in his suffering, that I can also be one with him in his resurrection. So we see the suffering, even this Lent, not only having to see it again as we relive the passion of Christ, but we see it in Sandra Roth. 3 weeks in the hospital here at Parkview, then at Mayo, back to Parkview. At Mayo, you see the summary of the human situation on the big hospital, Methodist Hospital. The human reaching up with the arms on that statue, and that's our human situation. Lifting up our arms to God. Doesn't matter whether Paul is with us or not. Christ is with us, and we're one with his suffering, and he says, one with his resurrection. So Sandra goes through all the painful examinations for 3 weeks in hospitals, and then she's dressed and ready to go home. And it's a matter of time. The suffering gets worse, perhaps. That's the best we know. And I say, well, how do you feel? Oh, she said, like if she was filled with laughter. I'm going home. I'm going home. To be with her four little children in the parsonage in Wilshire, beside the red brick church. And then when all of our energies are gone, and this physical body can no longer support the consciousness of the soul, we'll again be ready to say with joy that we are one with Christ in his sufferings and with the love and power of God in Christ in his resurrection, and affirm we're going home. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.